Can you hear me now? Good morning. Welcome to Grace Covenant. My name is Mike Souder, one of the pastors here at Grace. We are in our second week in a series on values. And last week, Merle kicked it off and he reminded us that values describe both who we are and who we want to be. Both, right? They describe what we are currently and what we aspire to. It's kind of like when we sing these songs, Christ is enough for me, right? In part, we mean that with all of our heart. And in part, our lives don't always show that. So it's kind of a both and. And values are important because our values drive all of our behavior. You can try and change your behavior all day. And if you don't change your values, good luck, really. But we have eight core values here at Grace Covenant. Worship, authentic community, discipleship, outreach, ministry of the Holy Spirit, generosity, impartiality, cultural relevancy. You might look at that list and you think, well, isn't that it of every church? Well, maybe so. But these are things we want to be known for. And we're committed to being known for all of them. So we're spending the whole month of September on generosity. Last week, Merle started off on generosity. And there was a powerful anointing on Merle's message, I believe primarily because Merle and Sue are some of the most generous people I've ever met. And anybody who knows them could agree with that. So when you believe something, when you truthfully are something, it just comes out. So I'd encourage you to listen to that message on generosity. But today we're going to focus on our response to God's generosity and the whole idea of stewardship. Merle focused on the abundant, generous grace of God. And the question I have for us is, how in the world are we supposed to live in response to that generosity? So we're going to go back to, we were in 1 Peter this summer. We're going to go back and read a couple verses out of 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter says, the end of all things is near. That's like not necessarily good news if you're receiving this letter maybe. But he says, here's how you're supposed to deal with it. Be alert and of sober mind so you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. God, you have been so gracious and good and generous to us. We want to live in a way that shows that we get it. We want to live graciously, generously, as good stewards of everything you've given us. I pray that you would help us to do that. We honor you, we love you, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we go anywhere, we really have to talk about gifts. We have to talk about this whole idea of gifts. You're generous because you've been given a gift, right? That's the whole idea of generosity. So if you're a Christian, you've already received the ultimate gift, which is the grace of God. That's the ultimate gift. I should just probably stop right there. Gift, in this case, means charisma. The Greek word is charisma. And it means a favor you've received without any merit of your own. You did nothing to deserve it. It's just given to you. That's grace. Favor, or grace in this case, means complete forgiveness. And there's really no greater joy for us than to know that everything behind us, if we're walking with the Lord and we've asked for his forgiveness, everything behind us is forgiven. That's a pretty amazing thing. It changes how you live. So the first and the most important thing of gifts is that they are a measure of God's grace and forgiveness. Secondly, each of you have received a unique or special gift of grace. In other words, it kind of looks a little differently for everyone. Think about your testimonies, right? Some of you, oh, I was a drug addict and I robbed banks for a living. And then somebody else like, I grew up and I was always so good, but I became a Pharisee. Both of those are different testimonies, different expressions of having received God's grace. Another way of saying the gift is that God has given you a gift that you can give him back. It's a gift that God gives you to give him back. That's like, remember when you were a little kid and your mom went, here's a quarter, put it in the offering. Like all you did was take the quarter and put it in the offering, but man, you felt great. It's a gift you've been given to give back. They're all different, but they're all important. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received. God gave each of you a critically different role that we need. Peter notes that if anyone speaks or serves pretty much anything in between, you should do it as unto God. So there are a classic five spiritual gift lists in the New Testament. In Romans, I'm not going to go through all these in details. In Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, I wonder if they did that on purpose. Because there weren't chapters in the original letters, but anyway. Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles. There's a little bit of repeat here and there between the different lists. But these are what you might call explicit lists. When we look in the New Testament letters, we always see these five. But there are these others that are not even listed. Administration, organization, missionary, counseling, faith, deliverance, craftsmanship, hospitality, intercession, the gift of mercy, the gift of music. All of these are like tools. They're tools that you were given to be used. They're not like trophies. I have been given the gift of intercession. And I will shine my little gift and I will put it up here in the shelf. They're tools. Tools are only of any value if they're used. So we use our gifts in response to God's great gift for us. And I want to share briefly five keys to generously stewarding God's gifts. Okay? Sometimes it helps you stay awake. I know those of you drift off. Five keys to generously stewarding God's gifts. First of all, living generously is an act of worship. You don't have to be able to play piano beautifully or sing in some amazing way to be a worshiper. All of our service is an act of worship. Jesus said, to obey God is to love God. Using your gift is an expression of loving worship to God. And our gifts are like this manifestation of God and his work within us. Your gifts are like these signs that direct people to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, he says, serve with all your might so that in all things God may be praised. You know, my son Emmett has a gift of compassion. He points people to the compassion of God. I think Bert McTeer points people to the faithfulness of God. Jane McTeer points people to the joy of God. Nathan Blackwell points people to the mercy of God. Pepe Rojas points people to God through his prophetic gifting. David and Sylvia point people to God through their gift of hospitality. Merle and Sue, as I said earlier, they point people to God through their generosity. We're like these signposts to all these different beautiful aspects of God's character. And all of these are acts of worship. So first and foremost, we give ourselves as an act of worship to God. We live generously that God would get the credit. Continuing in that verse I just read, serve with all your might, so that in all things God may be praised. To him be the glory and the power. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for people. So we give as an act of obedience, which is worship, not always because we feel like it. I don't often feel like it, but I keep giving, right? We give as an act of worship. And the final thing I think I need to note on this first point, that giving generously is an act of worship, I think that we also need to note that we're not responsible if people like or don't like our gifting. If people don't always receive what you have as an offering unto the Lord, you're not responsible for it. Now, granted, you have to steward it well. You have to do all that you can to make sure somebody can receive it well. But ultimately, what's important is that you see the gift that God's given you as a gift to give to God. And we all happen to benefit from it. Secondly, living generously is fueled by grace. Again, grace refers to the fact that we've been given something that we did nothing to earn. You've been made righteous, not because you've done anything right, but because the one who's done everything right has given himself up for you. And the more we get that, we just live differently. Remember the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector we talked about maybe 2 weeks ago? The Pharisee stands up, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like all those wicked people. God, I'm so awesome. Thank you for making me so awesome. It's all about him. And then the tax collector is over here, God, I'm a pathetic mess. I need your help. Help me. Remember the story of the Pharisee and the quote-unquote sinful woman who comes into worship and into Jesus' setting? The Pharisee doesn't wash Jesus' feet. He doesn't anoint his head. He doesn't do anything special for Jesus. He just, oh, Jesus, you're here. Well, of course you want to be here in my awesome house. The sinful woman sneaks in, and she's just like broken before the Lord. She washes his feet with her hair. She gets it. That's the thing about this thing of grace. Like, do we get it? It should change us every single day. We should wake up and realize the significance of God's love for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, I've been meditating on this passage over and over and over. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. For by grace you've been saved, not by any great thing you've done. And yet you've been saved so that you could do great things. That's paraphrase. You've been saved not because of any great work of your own, but you have been saved to do some great works. Grace isn't like Jell-O. And now you're like, what does that have to do with anything? We eat Jell-O because it's enjoyable, it looks pretty, it tastes fun, whatever. But there's really no nutrition in it. Grace is like steak or peanuts. It nourishes you so you can do something with it, right? Third, Living generously is other-centered. I know, you're like, duh, we learned that in first grade. But do we live that way? You know, your gift is not really yours. Your gift was given to you for the benefit of everybody else. 1 Peter chapter 4:10. Use whatever gift you've received to serve others. The word that's used in a variety of versions is stewards. The Greek word oikonomoi. It comes from the word manager. It refers to, when it was first used, somebody who was basically put in charge of a rich person's house or farm or estate. They didn't actually own the estate. They had this responsibility to properly manage or steward the estate on behalf of the owner. A manager doesn't actually own the house or the company. If you're a manager at Merck, you don't own Merck. Well, you might be like some like little fractional ownership in some ESOP thing or whatever. But honestly, you are a manager of what someone else owns. If you're a hedge fund manager or you're managing people's money, the money isn't really yours. Your responsibility is to use it and leverage it to make as much as possible for the owner. So, for example, if you've been given the gift of hospitality, you've been called to use that for God's purposes. A couple years ago, a friend and I went to visit another friend in Vail, Colorado, who I'm telling you has the gift of being a pastor. I know this guy. He used to live in a generous way towards others. He used to care for people, bend over backwards to serve people, and he was so full of joy in the middle of it. He would go on trips to Kenya and these different places, and then something switched in him. And now he more or less uses his pastoring gift just to host these parties. I'm not talking about good parties. I was at one of these parties. And I see the difference because I used to live like that. And I'm still tempted to live like that, to use a gift of hospitality that God gave me for my own things, my own gain. There's something about everybody. People are always saying about Bruce Springsteen was created to be a worshiper. You know, we've all been given these gifts. Do we use them for the glory of God? Another example, everybody knows Kathy Castora, the administrator of the church. She's used her gift of administration well for 20, 25 years here. Imagine if she acted like the church building and everything was only hers. No, you can't use it. No, you can never use it. Never let anybody in the building, period. It's ludicrous, right? Or think about it another way. How sad would it be to see a Ferrari that never broke 100 miles an hour? That's pathetic. How sad would it be to see like a beautiful house that's never, ever been lived in? Or a person with perfect pitch who's never sang, ever. I don't have time to go through the whole parable, but Luke chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." You may not feel, potentially, like you've been given much, but let me tell you, you have been given a lot. Every one of you has been given a lot. And you have the opportunity to live for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. That's the most awesome way to live. Fourth point, living generously is most powerful when it comes from your gifting. 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Your gift is where you experience God's power. You're going to be most alive when you're active in your gift mix. Have you ever heard this phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory? We talk about, as Christians, we talk about Christ in me, right? And that's kind of a mystical, difficult thing for us to understand sometimes. But you are most able to experience Christ living through you when you walk in the gifting he's given you. That's Christ in you. So we talk about that in sort of generic terms, Christ living in me. But as you grow in whatever gift you've given you, that's how you better experience Christ within you. It also adds to the sustainability of the whole thing. When you give yourself, you don't, in your gifting, when you're living in your gifting and you're doing what God's called you to do, you don't wear out as fast. Because it's actually not you giving at all. It's actually Christ giving through you. Right? I mean, think about the different giftings there are and how, like, let's pick one. Let's pick one I'm bad at. Oh, that's easy. Let's say administration or details, just things with details. I will burn out like this when I'm trying to pay attention to all the details. Just take one area, for example, college ministry. We were supposed to have like frisbees with cookies for the college students. Sorry, you're going to get a frisbee and a flyer this morning. Because the details slip through the cracks all the time for me. And I wear out trying to pay attention to those. Other things that are in my gifting, I could do them all day, and I'm more energized by the end of the day. My wife, Mercy, is a counselor, professional counselor. She'll see 8 people in a row. And remember, people go to counseling after they've been to the rest of you and to the pastoral staff and to everybody else. Then they go and tell a counselor, at least that's been my personal experience in going to a counselor. She comes home energized because she's in her gifting. If I sat through 3, 4, 5 people in a row, I'd be wearing earplugs and just nodding my head probably. When you live out of your gifting, there's something powerful, there's something sustainable, there's something in you that comes alive in a new and a powerful way. So some of you don't even know maybe what your giftings are. It's a big buzzword in Christianity. There's all kinds of stuff, just spiritualgifts.com. There's a stack of papers there, a stack of papers here. After the service, come up and get one of those if you don't know what it is, and then we will help you find a place to get engaged here at the church and in the community, hopefully. God gives you the strength to give you what God has created you to do. Merle talked last week about the abundance of God. He never runs out. My problem, and maybe your problem with living generously, is I doubt the goodness and the abundance of God. And I don't want to give that much money away. I'm not really sure he's going to give me that much money back. I don't really want to give that much time away. I don't have the energy for this or that. God is like this never-ending well. He just never runs out of giving, giving, giving. All that we need. Fifthly, living generously is something you can grow into. And I would say living generously causes you to grow. We were created to live generously, but we don't always do that. We were created in the image of God. My son Jude the other day, he was looking at some book and he was reflecting on how different the human creation is from all of the rest of creation. And the difference is, we were created in the image of God. Just us. We're the only thing with the heartbeat on the planet that was created in the image of the generous, infinitely generous God. And living generously matures us. It helps us grow into who God called us to be. I almost think at first it's a little bit like fake it till you make it. Like maybe you should not put that in the recording because I didn't have a chance to reflect on whether that's true or not. Scripture says God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, he especially loves it when you're cheerful. But I do think it's important to still give yourself, even if it's not cheerful. I think there is something about giving that the more we do it, the more we want to do it. When we do it with the right reasons. That's the normal path for us as Christians. It's a normal path for all of humanity, really. Think about procreation. What happens when you give yourself sexually to someone? Something is created. There's a new life that's created when we give ourselves. Living selfishly stunts us. Living with addictions, porn, food, alcohol, whatever it is, whatever all the addictions are, they stunt us. They cause us to stay at whatever level where we're living in those addictions. That's okay. We can grow out of it. I have. And I'm still growing out of other weakness. All of us are. But there's something about pushing out of that selfishness that breeds additional generosity. I was reflecting on a bunch of different parables to share for today. There's so many good stories in the Bible, these parables. The parable of the faithful servant in Luke 13, the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, the parable of the master and the servant. A lot going on here about servants. The parable of the two debtors, the parable of the talents. You know what all these things have in common? In every case, Jesus is trying to drive home the importance of appreciating the grace that we've been given. In every case, the person who gets disciplined is the person who's received an incredible grace, an incredible gift, and then has not lived generously towards others. That's the one parallel between all of these. But the flip side of it, those who live generously and graciously, God just keeps giving them more, and he just keeps giving them more, and he just keeps giving them more. So generosity is something you can grow into. And I want to bring some encouragement and hope to some of you who've maybe tried it and you've burned out. And I want to apologize personally, and maybe I can apologize on behalf of the church since I am one of the leaders here. I'm sorry for where we have burned people out. It happens. We get into such a mode. We want to see things happen. And we don't always treat one another well. So maybe you're a casualty of that. Maybe you've tried to live generously in some way and you've burned out. Or maybe you've been hurt as a result of it. But the good news is, you're not alone. Consider the countless examples in Scripture of men and women who, one way or another, didn't have it right at first. And then they got a do-over. They got a second chance. Specifically, consider the men and women in the Scriptures who resisted God's call to use their gifting to be generous. And then they got a second chance. Think of Joseph. Somewhat, arrogant. Golden child. Look at my robe. I had dreams. I'm way better than all of you, my brothers. They hated him. And then he ends up saving all of his brothers in the long run. Think of Moses. Disillusioned, disappointed, dejected prince of Egypt. Becomes a homeless shepherd after killing someone. He's terrified to do anything but look after some sheep. And he ends up leading 2 million people out of Egypt. Think of Rahab. Remember Rahab, the famous prostitute? who sheltered the spies who came to check out Jericho? You know she's one of Jesus' great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers? Think of Gideon, the depressed, insecure farmer. I can't do it. Let someone else do it. Becomes Israel's military commander. And despite ridiculous odds, delivers God's people. How about Jonah? Literally runs away from God. And yet he becomes this prophet preacher that brings a revival to one of the most wicked cities on the face of the earth. Or think about Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, walks with Jesus for 3 years and then denies Jesus to his face. Peter, same guy, becomes one of the fathers of the early Christian church. All these people were given sort of a second life, not because they got it all right, but because God graciously intervened in their life and said, you can live differently. And I think that's the truth for all of us. God is inviting all of us to a second chance. So how will you steward the gift God's given you? Who will benefit when you do? And who will miss out if you don't? Friday, our son had a deviated septum surgery at UVA, which turned out to be a bigger deal than we expected, to say the least. There must have been no exaggeration. We must have talked to 20 people just on the medical staff. I'm not talking about administration or the guys who parked us or the people who sent us the bill. God bless them. I'm talking about anesthesiologists and nurses and surgeons and more nurses and more doctors and the, what do you call them, residents, the guys going to school forever who are there, you know, as a part of school. Like, it takes a lot of people. And you know what? I am really glad they all showed up. I am really glad they all used the gift that God gave them to generously care for my son that day to make a successful surgery. What would happen if we all were at our peak in living generously, in stewarding well everything God's given us? What would we look like, honestly? What would happen? What would happen to you individually? What would happen to our church? What would happen to the Shenandoah Valley? Last week, Merle talked about the abundance of God. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and life to the full. So the question is, are you experiencing life to the full? Or is it like life to the get by? Oh my word. I tell you, we're only going to experience the life God intended us to live by taking more risks, by being more generous. We're not going to get it by playing it more safe, setting up more walls, being more conservative. So if you're not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus talked about, what's holding you back? I just want to encourage you. You can heal. You can grow. You can do this. You can do this. You can live generously once again, and we'll help you. We're helping each other. That's the point of the Christian family. So let's stand up, and we're going to close in prayer. So I shared two different expressions of, if the ministry team could come forward to pray. I shared two different expressions of grace. First being God's grace that you, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you've asked him to change you, to forgive you, you're forgiven. You are made righteous. You are seen as whole and righteous before God. If you don't get that, if you don't get it fully, or if you feel like you don't get it to some degree, I want to encourage you to come and receive prayer. And secondly, if you feel like you're not experiencing the abundant life that God has called you to live in, and part of that is you're holding back on living generously in one way or another, either because we've hurt you, someone's hurt you, you're hurt somewhere along the line, something broke, I want to encourage you to come and let us pray for you. I'm going to go ahead and give a closing prayer, and then we are really hoping to see you all back here at 12:30 for lunch. Okay? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your generosity towards us. I thank you for the fact that when you look at us, you see something that you love. You see something beautiful. You see something that you are delighted in. I thank you that you're not angry at us. You're not frustrated with us. Looking at us with love and grace and kindness, you just want us to live our lives to the full. And so we ask that you would help us to do that. God, help us to understand and receive your grace and forgiveness. Help us to live generously. Help us to take the grace that you've given us and to be incredibly gracious towards others. Help us to be the most kind, compassionate, and gracious people in the city of Harrisonburg, God. We honor you, we love you, we bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So come forward to receive prayer, or go on, and don't forget to come back at 12:30. God bless you all. Thank you.
in the fire for so long. Now you show me better. A new kind of love. It's ever the one I want. I'm lifting you higher, higher. There's nothing that I'd rather do. I see elevation, our praises. There's no one I love more than you. I never knew a love like this before. The kind of life that I cannot find on my own. I've seen the world, but I have never been so sure that I want your heart. God, I just wanna be where you are. Where you are. Like nothing I've seen, my wildest of dreams don't come close. I've never known better than living like this. I cannot resist you, Lord. I'm lifting you higher.